You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 146. It's December 2013, and December is traditionally a time of year for giving gifts. And so, at the end of today's show, I'm giving you a gift, and I know that you're going to enjoy it. It's a gift of music. It's a song that we've incorporated at the end of the show. It's called It Will Come to You, and it kind of encapsulates everything that today's show is about. It's a very catchy tune. I know you'll like it. I know you've been singing it for a long time. It's by The Rooftops, and as many of you who have been following the show, my work for a long time, know, my son Ewan Gray is a musician, and he heads his band The Rooftops. So the song that we've got for you at the end, It Will Come to You, is actually written by Ewan, and the lyrics that you'll hear him playing, singing and playing the saxophone and probably a number of other instruments as well. So after the couple of articles, which I'm going to read out to you, you will be able to sit back and enjoy the track in its entirety. And if you really, really like it, I'll give you the link where you can go to iTunes and buy it for yourself. I'll also give you the link for his whole album, which is wonderfully diverse and beautiful. But to begin with, back to dreams or forward to dreams, whichever way you want to look at it. What we're going to talk about today is, instead of having a guest, we're just talking about in some depth how you can be programmed by your unconscious mind in your day-to-day life without realizing what's happening, and how to get over that, what to do, including dream alchemy, what to do to get out of that habitual automatic programming so that following the words of the title track at the end, it will come to you. What you want will come to you. At the moment, what will be coming to you will probably be very closely aligned with your habitual patterning of your unconscious mind. So if you want choice over what will come to you, this is listen to the show. So before we go into those couple of things, just a quick review of the websites for those of you that have stumbled upon this podcast, The Dream Show, without knowing the background, who I am, what I offer, where I'm coming from, books you can buy, how you can contact me to understand your own dreams, free resources and a lot more. These are the websites: www.dream.net.au for the website. For my blog, www.janetheresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And the shop, which does link from both the website and the blog, but if you want the direct address, the shop is www.janetheresaanderson.com. Or find me on Facebook. And of course, this is episode 146. You can listen back through all the episodes of The Dream Show at my blog. And you can always find the last 10 episodes on iTunes. Right, well, now let's get on with what I hope you will be enjoying listening. First of all, I'm going to read you an article that I actually wrote in July 2002. I think you'll enjoy it, and it's a relevant introduction to the second article. This one is called Purple Haze, or How Things Change. Picture this. You look into the mirror at 3 years old and recognize yourself. The next day, the mirror tells the same story, and the next, and the next. Okay, so one day a tooth falls out and your mirror picture shows you without your tooth, but otherwise, nothing has changed. Day by day, year by year, the mirror tells the same story. Yep, this is you, much the same as yesterday, really. Roll on a few decades. Today's face in the mirror might look a little tired compared to yesterday's after a big night out. Tomorrow's face might look younger, well slept, but hey, much the same as yesterday, really. Day by day, your face in the mirror looks the same, yet so many momentous changes have taken place since you were 3 years old. Even the longest lived of your body cells is replaced every 6 or 7 years, so your body has totally regenerated many times. But did you notice the changes? When did it all happen? When you interpret and work with your dreams, a similar process occurs. Day by day, night by night, your dreams hold up a mirror for you to scrutinize your reflection. This is who you are. These are the feelings you try to hide. This is what motivates you. These are the gifts you are too shy to shine. This is what hinders you. These are your buried hurts, your weeping wounds. See how they still shape your relationships. These are the beliefs about life that you have learned from others. See how they affect your vision. This is your mask. When will you take it off? Little by little, you begin to see truths about yourself and begin to understand why your life is the way it is. Small changes begin, often too small to notice on a day-to-day basis, but they add up to momentous changes over months and years. You gather confidence in sharing your talents. You free yourself from hurt by forgiving the past. You let go of beliefs that have not been serving you well. And you begin to see solutions instead of problems, doorways instead of brick walls. Way back in 2001, I bought a new pair of prescription sunglasses. Here in Australia, sunglasses are an everyday accessory, winter or summer, as the sun is so bright. And for the first time back then, I decided to buy Polaroids. My first trip out wearing them was exactly that, way trippy, man. Everything was edged in a purple and green haze. Short walks distended into prolonged contemplations of clouds and flowers, while driving along psychedelic purple-green roads was distractingly dangerous. After a while, I realized something amazing. A few months later, I realized that the purple and green hazes had gone. Everything looked normal through the very same sunglasses. But when had this happened? In terms of science and biology, my brain had become habituated. It had decided, without consulting my preferences, that the world wasn't really as purple or green as my glasses seemed to suggest, so it deleted that input as irrelevant and possibly harmful to my survival. My brain made the executive decision to choose a world picture that, in its opinion, fitted reality better than the reality portrayed by my Polaroid lenses that bend and change the angles of some colours more than others. Why did my brain make this autonomous executive decision? It's all about survival. Have you ever bought a new alarm clock and been kept awake by its loud ticking? In only a few days, the tick-tock disappears, doesn't it? Well, it does until you listen very closely and then you hear it again. What happens is that when you first get the clock, your brain hears the tick and stays on alert in case the ticking is a predator keen on eating you while you sleep, so better stay awake, hey? As time goes by, excuse the pun, your brain decides that this ticking is obviously not a danger, so it habituates to the sound. It makes an executive decision to change your reality to one with a silent alarm clock so that you can sleep undisturbed. You no longer hear the tick consciously, although it lives on in your all-seeing, all-hearing, unconscious mind, just as my unconscious mind is deeply bathed in psychedelic purple and green whenever I wear my sunglasses. A more disturbing example of habituation was described to me by a woman who'd just been persuaded to leave a violent marriage. During earlier counselling, she had been asked if her husband was violent. She had replied no. She was then asked specific questions such as, "When did your husband last hit you?" Her answers clearly indicated a violent marriage, but she had experienced the violence for so long that she had accepted it as normal not as violent. Her counsellor opened her eyes by telling her how to kill a frog. If you put a frog into very hot water, it immediately jumps out to save itself. If you put a frog into tepid water and then slowly raise the temperature, it doesn't notice the series of small changes and eventually overheats and dies. If this woman had been following and interpreting her dreams, she would have been awake to her situation much earlier, discovering both self-understanding and empowerment to turn her brick wall situation into an open door. No matter how much the brain habituates and screens the senses, no matter how much is deleted from the conscious mind, the unconscious records everything and reveals it in dreams. By now, there must be a huge question on your lips. If the brain habituates to a ticking alarm clock, or to purple-green hazes to protect our survival, what on earth is the survival advantage in habituating someone to a violent marriage? The answer is historical. The brain treasures its archives. Your early life experiences and memories helped to create your fundamental beliefs about life and survival. For example, you might have experienced more contact and care from your mother when you were sick, so you learned that sickness is a good survival tool. Or you might have learned that doing what you were told was better than getting slapped, so you learned that obedience was a good survival tool. Or you might have learned that a parent gave you more loving attention after hitting you, loving attention and regret, than before, so you learned that accepting violence was a good survival tool. In the following years, your brain has done its habituating based on your list of good survival tools securely treasured in the archives of your mind. For life-enhancing change to be really effective, your fundamental beliefs need to be identified and re-evaluated. Your survival tools need to be sorted through and updated. Many need to be disposed of and replaced. And your dreams are the place to start with this. Just be ready to kiss a frog or two. So that article really is almost an introduction to this one, after which you will hear the song. It will come to you. And this one I wrote just last month. So you can also read this one on my blog in November 2013. It's called Rewiring the Brain with Dream Alchemy. Imagine you have a dream about climbing an endless staircase, one that doubles back on itself just when the last step is in sight, or one that twists like a Möbius strip, or tricks the eye like an Escher print. It's actually quite a common dream, and like all unresolved dreams, it reflects an unresolved situation in waking life. It might be as simple as a creative problem you can't resolve at work, or as complex as a relationship issue you can't resolve in your personal life. Now, you wouldn't just be trotting around that dream case thinking ho-hum, would you? After a few rounds, you'd be feeling an emotion or two, perhaps frustration, irritation, panic, resignation, disappointment, relief, phew, save from getting there and confronting something, confusion, what else? What do you imagine you might feel in this kind of dream? Emotions tend to be heightened in dreams as we touch upon raw feelings, often unconscious, that we bury or hold back from expressing when we are awake. But although you may wake up from an emotional dream with relief, oh, thank goodness, only normal staircases in my life today, and anyway, I always take the elevator, don't dismiss that dream or the emotions you felt. Somewhere in your life, in the last 2 days, you lived that analogy of feeling as if you were on an endless staircase, of sensing that a situation would turn back on itself just when the last step was in sight, of not being able to see a solution to getting where you want to be. And that emotion that you felt in the dream is a key to what is stopping you from resolving the waking life issue to seeing a solution to the problem. We all have our blind spots, our unique ways of seeing or not seeing the world, based on our automatic, habitual patterns of thinking, feeling, and responding to situations. Those patterns are laid down, wired into our brains, automated, plunged into our unconscious mind as a result of our early experiences or as a result of more recent emotional trauma. Whatever new and positive experiences life might offer us, that old wiring pattern can be very hard to shift. Why? We establish those patterns for our survival, to protect us and keep us safe from the things we feared at that early age or following that trauma. Many of those patterns were learned from our parents or guardians as they modeled their habitual ways of dealing with their fears. It takes a lot for us to give up a pattern that we unconsciously believe keeps us safe, even if it's no longer relevant in today's world, or, in most cases, limiting our options and ways of being in the world, stopping us from finding new, better patterns of relating and responding in the world. In the example of the endless staircase dream, the dreamer is wired to automatically, unconsciously avoid that last step or draw out a situation to make it more convoluted than it needs to be. Why? For every dreamer who has this dream, for every person who is trapped in this pattern, the reason will be unique. But one thing is for sure. At least one strong emotion is holding the wiring in place. One person might lack the self-esteem to take that last step. Another might fear success or failure, and there are plenty more possibilities. And in each case, that lack of self-esteem or fear of success or failure or other reason to avoid that last step stems from a past emotional experience or strong emotional conditioning from parents or guardians. So how do you rewire your brain or reprogram your unconscious habitual beliefs and patterns? In sports psychology, it's known that if you practice a move a few times and then visualize it many times a day for weeks, when you try that move again, you will have improved or even mastered it. The same goes for developing other new skills, such as a pianist mastering a new piece by visualizing the placement of her fingers on the keyboard as she hears the music. Science has proven that, in the circumstances in which it has been tested, repetitive visualization rewires the brain for new skills. When I create dream alchemy visualizations, I ask people to repeat them 20 or 30 times a day for 2 weeks, then a couple of times a day for a few weeks more. These are the figures I've arrived at over many years of trial and error. They're designed to rewire the brain, to reprogram unconscious beliefs and the patterns they generate, and they are effective because they utilize the person's unique dream symbols. Our dream symbols and themes are the pictures our individual dreaming minds come up with while our brains are processing our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours trying to make sense of our world. As we dream, we try to fit our recent experiences in with our current understanding of the world, and mostly we manage to do that, even when our current understanding of the world is not serving us well. Those dream symbols and themes are the closest language we can get to the language of our unique unconscious mind, the closest language we can get to the language of our brain wiring. So with dream alchemy, you visualize a key dream symbol transforming or a key dream theme resolving. In the example, you might visualize seeing the last step and stepping effortlessly onto it. Or you might straighten and shorten your complex dream staircase and then take that last step. Repetition is a necessary key, just as it is when used in mastering a sports or music skill through visualization. And there's one other very important factor with dream alchemy, and it's something that can make people feel so uncomfortable that they hold back from doing the visualization fully or stop doing the repetitions. Yet that uncomfortable feeling is actually a sign that the dream alchemy is the spot-on formula. With dream alchemy, you need to visualize transforming the negative emotion you felt in the dream, for example, confusion or irritation about the staircase, into a positive emotion, for example, clarity or enrichment. If your pattern is heavily invested in the negative emotion, for example, confusion or irritation are comfort zone for you, keeping you so-called safe from the changes you fear that clarity or enrichment might demand, you're going to feel very uncomfortable about visualizing those emotional shifts in your dream alchemy. This is the point where you either need to have faith and push through because you want to change, or have me take you through the dream alchemy personally and repetitively. Faith is born of understanding the dream. When you interpret a dream or engage my help with doing this, you get to see your pattern with new eyes. You get to understand where it came from, and you get to identify and understand the emotions that underpin it. It's the details of your dream, details beyond the general theme of the staircase itself in this example, that once analysed give that understanding. You know when the interpretation's right because it all suddenly makes sense. But all the while you have that buried emotion deep down inside. Intellectual reasoning and sheer will alone is not powerful enough to transform that emotion. Here's how to transform an emotion that's holding a pattern in place. First, identify the emotion. Dream analysis is one of the best tools for this. Secondly, feel the emotion. I'm sorry, there's no shortcut here. Get into it, feel it. Notice where you feel it in your body as well as in your heart. Let the emotion speak to you. See what thoughts and other feelings come up. Perhaps notice associated beliefs. And when you've really delved into it and felt it, thank that emotion for enlightening you and then let it go. Imagine it drifting up and out of your body to dissolve into a puff of pure air, completely gone, leaving its positive counterpart emotion free to take its place within you. Then continue with your dream alchemy visualization. You'll begin to notice changes in the way you respond to the world, changes in the way you feel about taking that last step in this example, or you'll suddenly have a eureka moment about that creative work problem and see the perfect solution. It will seem easy, and that old pattern will now seem very strange, even funny. You'll probably laugh looking back. At that point, you have successfully rewired your brain. Oh, and you'll have grown personally, creatively, and spiritually too. Enjoy. So now, I would like to introduce to you the track It Will Come to You by The Rooftops, the singer-songwriter being my son Ewan Gray, and this is from their recent album, which is called Everything to Everyone. The quickest way, if you've enjoyed this, the quickest way to purchase and download the whole album, if you wish, is to go to iTunes and just search for the album Everything to Everyone by The Rooftops. There are actually a couple of bands in the world called The Rooftops, so make sure you get the right one. The album's called Everything to Everyone. The track is called It Will Come to You. Here it is, enjoy it, and I'll talk to you very briefly at the end of the song.
To offer, I'm down to a couple of dollars. A beat up car's going nowhere. I got a couple of shattered dreams, a shirt and a pair of jeans in the National Gallery of Troubles. And when I checked this morning to see if you had called me, my phone had finally died. I think it was a show. All I got is what I know. What I know is alright. I wanna say na 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 to every stranger in the street. Na 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 na. Reach the corner, and every girl is giving me the eye. I'm so in tune, there ain't nothing I can't do. It's the first day the rest of my life. And as I get nearer, everything seems to mirror exactly what I'm feeling inside. I think I understand all I got is who I am, and who I am is alright. I wanna sing no, no.
I'm sure you enjoyed that one as much as I do, and I'm sure that it will sing along itself in your brain a little bit today. if you did enjoy that, and I'm sure you did, or if you'd like to listen to some of The Rooftops' other stuff, they do actually have 3 or 4 albums out. In Australia here, they are played on radio. They're a well-known band. So enjoy, go to iTunes, search for The Rooftops and that particular album, Everything to Everyone, and you'll find their other stuff there, or find them on Facebook, of course. And if you'd like to find out more about me or share my work with your friends, www.dream.net.au, or my blog at janeteresa.com without an H. So if you have enjoyed today's show, it is not the usual type, you know, more commonly we have a guest on the show with a dream which I interpret, but I do feel that the information in today's show probably summarizes really well the kind of work that I do and the kind of work that you can apply in your own life. So being as how this is a kind of Christmassy, gifty time of year, if you know friends or colleagues that you feel would probably enjoy and benefit from this podcast, please do send the link around with the encouragement to them that there is a really nice, uplifting sing-along song at the end as well. Enjoy Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Enjoy, hopefully, a bit of time off if you don't celebrate Christmas. And I'll see you for the next episode of The Dream Show, which will be episode 147, which is due out on the 10th of January 2014. Have a wonderful month, and thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.